SBS Radio.
My guest is Tim McCartney, owner-operator of Whale Nursery, a specialist wholesale nursery providing a full range of local native plants and seeds, contract growing advice and revegetation. We discussed with Tim McCartney native plants, their nutritional and medicinal properties, as well as native plants and intellectual property.
I work for the Burundi Gadjin Land Council, the traditional owner corporation for the Wadjabalik Nations, and we purchased a native plant nursery in Wales in 2017, so we look after that, which is really a really important piece of the work that we're doing on the way to economic independence, but also providing a lot of opportunities for our community to work with our endemic species and working on country as well.
Most people, when they come to Australia, they just admire different types of plants they've never seen before, and they don't know anything about these plants. Tell us about some of the specific things that we should know about native plants.
Broadly, native plants are an amazing, resilient species of vegetation that has always belonged in this landscape. You know, we're working really hard to grow them in a way that we can put them back in the landscape. They're good for soil health. They're good for wildlife attraction of, you know, birds and bees, but also too, you know, as our ancestors had used them for thousands of generations, they're an amazing source for food and medicinal uses as well. So there's so many different variants of it, and you know, so many benefits to it that, you know, it's really an emerging industry around getting those into, you know, using them as food sources, getting them into modern contemporary foods, but also too, it's just really good practice for your general, you know, gardening and for street beautification and in revegetation of roadways and into public lands as well.
Yeah, because they are plants that are native to the country, so they are perfectly suited for the weather, for the soil conditions and all that. So we really see them go and get imported plants.
We're really looking at, you know, one of our projects we're going to look at is about how we can work with private land holders to look at how we can grow some of our endemic species in you know, traditional farming practice, to see what that looks like. And, you know, so many of our lands was cleared for foreign farming practices, but can we get our native foods, our native plants back on those lands and save water, save the use of chemicals on these plants, and provide the wider community a really safe, healthy food source?
Well, because when we talk about native plants, some will see mainly the ones that we used to consume. Some of them are really, really very popular already. They've just made their way in the mainstream, like lemon mato. I know when I go to a patisserie, a nice patisserie, one of the flavors that you're looking for, if you really know the, you know, the, if they claim to be one of these edgy ones, if they don't have lemon maro, I just walk out. Something with lemon maro flavor, or if you go in a nice gin, well, for those who drink gin, outlets, if they don't have finger limes, well, you know, well, how can you be edgy if you don't have those products in your lineup? What others would be especially native to your area that you rave about?
Look, we've got, you know, there's kwandongs and mantras that are endemic to our land, but, you know, we have, you know, river mint, and we also have our native thyme. Yeah, our native thyme is a really good food to be able to use into, you know, into food like, you know, a pasta, or into a bake. Gives a sort of rosemary and thyme sort of flavour and taste to it. You know, there's lots of those plants that are good. You know, kwandong, there have been some craft brewers who have tried to use kwandong into a cider, into a cloudy pale ale. But, you know, the really important thing is, I suppose, is that whilst native foods are seen to get into the wider market, there's still it's still controlled by non-Indigenous people. You know, the native foods industry has less than 2% participation in the native food industry. But the current intellectual property laws and that in this country do not protect the rights and interests of First Nations people, doesn't protect the cultural intellectual property that sits within each of these plants and species. And so, you know, it is open there where people can plant them out and, you know, pass them off as bush foods where there's no, you know, and working off the sacred stories or the narratives that go with those plants you know, there's no direct benefit going back to community. And that needs to change, and needs to change now because the industry is growing. But, you know, First Nations people are still being excluded from the wealth that can be generated from, you know, having our species.
Actually, it's a topic that's it's relevant not just to the plants. I know when we cover art, especially Indigenous artists are usually ripped off or they're designs are copied by other people or misused and all that, and they've created an artists alliance that actually tries to protect the copyright. Is there anything similar for the plants? And because something has to be done, been done in that sense?
Last year in Sydney, First Hand Solutions and Sydney based organisation held the first ever First Nations Bush Food Symposium, which was attended by over 120 First Nations people from around the country. So this was all talked about there, and there was a statement put out from the attendees there about a set of actions. And one of those actions was to set up a national body to advocate for the rights and interests of First Nations people in the industry, but also to protect the rights and interests of First Nations people that want to get into the industry as well. And so that was established earlier this year, and I'm currently the sitting chairperson for that organisation. So, you know, it is a national body. We've got all states and territories except for the ACT and Tasmania that are currently represented on our board. But it is about the advocation of the rights and interests of First Nations people in the bush food industry to protect the cultural intellectual property, to ensure the safe passage for food safety, for training and development of our people, to provide opportunities to get into supply chains as well. We know that the demand is out there currently for authentic Aboriginal First Nations people bush food products. That number is going to grow. The demand on that is going to grow. And what we want to do is really provide our people in the best place possible to maximise off it, but work in a really appropriate manner, you know, to work ethically, to work to our own cultural values, but to also to advocate for the changes in the legal system this country's governed by. But, you know, like a few years ago, Australia was a signatory to the Nagoya Protocols on access and benefits sharing, yet still not ratified in this country. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. The work to, you know, to get our foods to be things that we know about our foods, but to get them certified for public consumption, we have to sign away some of our intellectual property rights within that, and we've got to change that with research institutes and that. And that change is happening, and, you know, but like any organisation, we need members to get on board. We need support from private sector and government sector to support the operations of the organisation.
It's a huge undertaking there.
Yeah, it's a massive undertaking, but, you know, it's one of those ones that's needed to happen right now. And it starts back to the source of the plants, and I suppose we, you know, come back to what we're doing at Burindji Gudjin with our native nursery, Dalki Gurringa. You know, is that we're providing opportunity for our people to practice the culture, to be able to pass on that knowledge to new generations on these plants and species, endemic species to our land, to work on that, to work with the way that we want to our project around engaging in private land owners to get those plants into the ground, to be able to get the environmental benefits out of that, but also to be able to create a product. These farmers will want to farm it, to be able to have that access and benefit sharing, but the control of it all sits within the rightful owners of that intellectual property, which is the traditional owner group, which is, you know, the cultural intellectual property of these plants are owned by collectives, and the power needs to go back to that. And, you know, we can, you know, there's a lot of report done on the social an economic return done on engaging in Aboriginal businesses, but there's a bit of work that needs to be done on measuring the social impact of if you were to invest in Aboriginal First Nations-led bush food businesses. What does that look like, considering that you're restoring culture, you're getting people to practice culture on a daily basis, and you're creating a really high-end product at the end, job opportunities, social emotional well-being, so there's a bit of work to be done in that to see that there's a really great return on investment from anybody that wants to support First Nations people in this industry.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.